Blog Talk Radio.
What's up,
artists,
everybody?
Producers, DJs, poets, writers, musicians, and businesses. Are you looking for a one-stop shop for promotions?
This ain't the time for the ad to play Blog Talk, but, you know, it's cool. You know, just interrupt my introduction to one of, like, my most favorite people ever, favorite person. We got Glenisha Morgan. Are you there, Glenisha?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You see that intro tried to just bust up into the party, like, before I even got to introduce you? And I'm just sitting there, like, mortified, like, really? Why did I told you to play?
What would we do without the wonderful ads, right?
I don't know. I don't know. And then it was one of my ads, so I'm like, why did you play? Nobody told you to play. Anyway, it's all right. First off, you said you're doing great. That's very awesome to hear. I want to know about your weekend for people. Like, tell us what happened. What made this past weekend so eventful?
Well, this past Friday, I had my very first gallery show. My photography was featured in the International Women's Art Exhibit at the Contemporary Art Institute of Detroit. So that was very exciting, and I was just happy and honored to be a part of it and to be among so many other amazing and dope artists.
Word. So it was Three Little Girls Ferguson, correct? That was the piece that you showed.
Yes.
Tell me about your experience in Ferguson, and, you know, tell us about that picture and like a little bit of background behind it.
Well, I decided to go down to Ferguson last September. As a part of the Freedom Rides that Black Lives Matter organized. And during that time, I marched in protest among so many just beautiful, beautiful Black folk that were down there to support and to let our voices be heard. The photograph, Three Little Girls Ferguson, was shot right in front of the Ferguson Police Department during a protest. And these just three beautiful, brave Black girls were basically just sitting right there in front of the police officers where during the moment they had put out the police tape that says do not cross. Mm-hmm. And these little girls were like right there on the front lines protesting with a lot of the other people and adults and activists.
Wow. They were brave. Oh, my God. Like, that's crazy for children that young to see that type of thing happening and just be there, you know what I mean, when it's going on. But I think it's important, too. You know, and I think it's really important to have them see that and be exposed to it right now. Now, are you a big TV watcher?
Yes, I am. I am definitely a television watcher. I have my lineup of shows that I watch every week, and I even have alarms in my phone when my shows go off.
What's the lineup? What's the lineup? I need to know.
Well, Mondays there's Love and Hip Hop and Black Ink, and then Tuesdays, there's Being Mary Jane, and Wednesday, we have Empire and The Game, and Thursdays, there's Shondaland with Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, and then Fridays, now there's Creatures of Detroit, so that's pretty much all of my go-to shows.
Okay, that sounds very much, very similar to, like, my lineup. Outside of being Mary Jane, I have to catch that when I can, but I want to talk to you about Scandal, because you brought up you know, of course Ferguson, and I don't know. I don't know if you got a chance to see the last episode of Scandal from last week.
You know what? Unfortunately, I did not get a chance to see it, but a few people told me about it, and that is a must-see. So I have it recorded. So when I get some time, I'm going to go ahead and check it out.
All right, I'm not going to ruin it then.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for not spoiling it.
I'm not. It is a must-see, and I feel like we'll talk about it on Facebook, so that's no problem. It's all right. So, you know, when you get a chance to view that and then maybe review it and then, you know, and then holler at me. But we talked about TV. So what about film? What are some of your favorite films or favorite films?
My favorite black films, my number one is Love, Jones. Definitely love that. A lot of Spike Lee, pretty much anything Spike Lee. Malcolm X is one of my favorites of his, as well as Kirkland. She's Gotta Have It. I'm a big fan of Ava DuVernay's work. Love her. Brewster Place, The Best Man, The Brothers, Poetic Justice, any and everything John Singleton.
Okay.
My favorite.
Okay, you sound like my sister. She had, like, video, like VHS, but it was, like, VHS of, like, black movie upon black movie. Boys in the Hood was on the same tape as Posse, and then it continued to another videotape.
Nice.
So, dudes and, all types of stuff. I swear we would watch those movies, like, maybe, I think I've seen those movies at least 50 times growing up. You know what I mean? And I feel like it's had an important, like a big impact on me, you know, as a person. But how do you feel like the films that you just named, well, you don't have to really get specific, but how do you feel like that type of culture influenced you to be who you are today?
I think what's really interesting is that the beautiful thing about films is a lot of times when we first watch it or when the films are first released, I feel like we may not have the same opinions that we will have about them later on in life, or our perspectives may change over time and depending on, you know, upon how relevant films may or may not still be. A lot of the films that I've watched, I will have to say, the ones that are strictly directed by black directors and specifically black women directors have definitely just inspired me, you know, to want to be a filmmaker and to want to contribute to the wonderful world of film. And I think, you know, film is a great extension of storytelling and a big part of storytelling. And for me, you know, as a writer, I just feel like when you're able to bring visuals, it pretty much just opens it up, and the opportunity for storytelling takes it to a totally different level.
Okay. So that leads me to this question. I want to know more about Turn Me Up. I need you to fill us in on Turn Me Up, a film by Glenisha Moore. I need you to fill us in and give us some updates and some details on that.
Well, Turn Me Up it's a film that pretty much came about because of my blog, Defembassy. So from doing my blog, Defembassy, which is exclusively dedicated to women rappers and women in hip-hop, I had began to travel and cover a lot of different shows and studio time with so many women rappers. And it was actually Ava DuVernay who inspired me to do Turn Me Up. I decided that, you know, I had so much footage and so many, you know, so much of this footage over time that I was like, okay, what am I going to do with it? You know, some of it had already been uploaded to YouTube, but I figured I would really be able to do the women a lot more justice with releasing a film and letting them tell their story and how they feel. And I feel like, you know, women in hip-hop, pretty much over, I guess, within the last decade or the last 5 years or so, it's really constantly been a hot topic conversation, and everybody's kind of wondering, where's the diversity when it comes to women in hip-hop? Or the big question, you know, for a long time was, where are the women rappers? And they're everywhere. So I just really wanted people to see the talent that you may or may not see in mainstream.
Mm-hmm. That's dope.
Thank you. That's dope.
Okay. Now, I'm trying not to fangirl and everything right now and things like that. I'm not trying to be that person. But, you know, I have followed you on social media because, of course, without social media, I swear, I don't know how I would have met, you know, so many, like, awesome people like you and, you know, other people that I've, you know, met online. But what makes you be as active in the community, typically the Black lesbian community or just the Black community as a whole, for women on social media and just outside of social media and just, you know, with you going to Ferguson, what drives you to, you know, voice your opinion and stand up for people like that?
One of the biggest things that's always stuck with me that my mom used to tell me is that if you don't stand for anything, then you'll fall. And so it's been instilled in me since I was a little girl to stand up for what I believe in and to be vocal. And I've also grew up around just a lot of women who are very unapologetic about speaking their mind and speaking, you know, about things that they believe in or what they felt was not right. I've always been very passionate about equality, and it's really just been instilled in me, you know, since I was a child. And being that I am a Black queer woman who's, you know, who's born and raised in one of the most, I would have to say, possibly disdained cities within our nation. it's like, you know, I have so many strikes against me, and I just can't help but to stand up for myself and others and for what I believe in.
And that you have definitely done. And, you know, another thing that I've noticed about you is you're everywhere online. Like, I type in Glamisha Morgan, you show up on all of my favorite magazines, especially Ebony. Yo, I'm telling you, I got to admit, when I first, you know, when I was growing up and reading Ebony, I didn't really see a whole lot of things in there about lesbians or LGBT community. You know what I mean? It was more or less, you would see the couples and you would see the people that would be on there or however they had the photos in Ebony or in Essence and Jet. And it would be, you know, just, you know, you never heard a lot about LGBT. But I was like, I don't know if my heart went pitter-patter. I don't know what happened. But just, you know, as I was about to give up on it, you know, on the Black magazine showing love, I was like, oh, snap. Glamisha is writing, you know, for this magazine, for Ebony, one of my favorite magazines. You know what I mean? Like I said, growing up, I almost started to put down as I got older, but Just to see that made me, like, really proud. How do you feel being able to share your story on that type of platform and on these other platforms that you share your stories on?
Well, honestly, it means the world to me. I grew up in a household where my grandmother had Ebony, Essence, and Jet on her table. And it really was a big thing in my family. Everybody came over. And when you entered my grandmother's house, you sat on the couch and you picked up Ebony, you know, or Jet Magazine. So Johnson Publishing really has been a part of my life since I learned how to read. And I think it's a big part of of Black culture. So for me, honestly, I feel like it's a great honor to be able to contribute to Ebony because I grew up reading that, you know, that same magazine. It's kind of funny because my grandmother passed in 2010, but I sometimes wonder, like, oh, my gosh, like, Granny, I wish you could, you know, see that I'm now writing for this magazine that she had a subscription to all the way up until the day she died. And I think that in terms of media, specifically Black media, there's definitely been a huge change and a huge shift as of late to not only just include the Black queer community, but to also celebrate the Black queer community. And I think that amongst Black media, I think people have really realized that you know, the Black queer community, we're here, and we're just, our lives matter. You know, when we say Black lives matter, it's not just the Black straight lives or the Black heterosexual lives. All of us, queer, trans, everything. And I will also say, too, the digital editor of Ebony, Jamila, she's definitely been a big part of making sure that those voices are heard. So big shout out to her.
Dopeness. That is so dope. Like, that did my heart all, like, so good, you know what I mean, just to see that. I was like, man, that is so dope. All right, that's enough fangirl. For a second, I'll probably be back to fangirl in a minute, but, you know, I know we talked about magazines. What, give me, like, your three favorite books. Do you have three that you can really just name?
Yes, I would definitely have to say the autobiography of Malcolm X. I just really loved his honesty and appreciated his ability just to be raw and to be 100% honest in telling his story. Two other favorite books are Stacey Ann Chan's The Other Side of Paradise and Janet Mock's Redefining Realness.
Okay. I'm going to have to listen back to this interview and take notes for you. That way I can, you know, step up my book game and check them out. Cool, okay. Right now, I don't know, you might have this off the top of your head. Do you have a favorite quote or maybe a motto that you like to live by?
Yes, you know, Janet Mock. I do not know the quote by heart, but in her book, at the beginning of her book, Redefining Realness, she says something about it being revolutionary when we tell our own stories, first to ourselves and then to others and to the world. And reading that just really meant a lot to me. It's definitely been a journey for me to be able to tell my story and stories as a writer. But, you know, when she says that in her book, it just really stuck out to me. And I think specifically in terms of Black folk and women of color and Black women and Black queer and trans women, it's definitely revolutionary when we tell our own stories, and that when we are able to lead our own narratives and our voices need to be heard. And I also believe that within the Black community, storytelling is really such a rich part of our culture and of our heritage. And if it was not for, you know, our ancestors and for us being able to tell our stories, there's just a lot of things we would not know, we would not be familiar. And I think because, you know, because we are an oppressed people and because often we're kind of silenced and people work so hard to shut us up and to silence us, it's just very important for us to be vocal and to continue to tell our own stories.
That it is. That it is. Now, there was something interesting that I noticed had been something I've seen a lot of people saying online. And it kind of bothered me, but I'm going to let you know what I'm talking about because I don't want to sound like I'm going in circles. But anyway, so what I'm basically seeing is when people talk about Black people and the police, a lot of people want to say, you know, that we have been brought up to disrespect the police, to not trust the police, you know, and things like that. But, you know, to me, I feel like they've given us pause to, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways. And no disrespect to a lot of people, a lot of black people that are police officers. You know what I mean? No shade to them, but I'm just saying, you know, I feel like we've been given a lot of cause to kind of not trust the police. Now, what are your feelings towards, you know, the police? And if you were raising a black son or daughter, how do you feel like they should carry themselves if they were ever approached by a police officer on the street? How would you tell them to handle it?
Well, I think first of all, people, a lot of people do not know the history in regards to the police in the United States. The police forces were started to actually capture slaves that had escaped. So if we go all the way back to slavery, the police, that whole entire institution was never created for us. Okay, it was created to bring us back to the plantation. So it was never created for us, and that's a fact. Two, when you have a history like that, it's, you know, it's still that whole entire essence is still very much a part of what's going on today, and it's still very relevant. If you look at, the prison industrial complex, you know, has black folk and people of color, have we ever truly been served, you know, by the police and by the prison system? And I think, you know, right now, and as far as back, like this whole thing with black men and women being killed and being attacked by the police, this is nothing new. You know, we can go all the way back as far as Malice Green, Rodney King, Sean Bell. You know, now there's Eric Garner, there's, you know, Michael Brown, and, you know, Renika Boyd, and just countless numbers of women. My relationship with the police, do I really care for the police? No, I do not. As a black woman of color, I already know what I'm susceptible to in terms of dealing with the police. I don't have any children, but if I did have any children, I would probably give them the advice. First of all, I would tell them that respectability politics do not matter. It does not matter whether you have sagging pants or whether you're wearing a suit or a dress. Doesn't matter where you're wearing. It's not going to save you at all. And most likely, I will probably tell them, don't say a word.
Okay. So I hope everybody's getting that. Because it don't matter. I mean, sometimes I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, that was really candid. Like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? A lot of times, like you said, I don't care who you are, you know, what you're wearing. They've been arresting professors. You know what I mean? Black professors. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I feel like they will attack you no matter what you're wearing. So I've seen a lot of debate going on about that, too, especially with the guys in the sagging pants. And, you know, they're like, oh, you should pull your pants up. For what? It doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let me fall back into this whole seat right here and get back. But you really gave some great history. Wow, I did not know that. I did not know that about the police. That's what they were originally created to do.
Yeah.
Not protect and serve. Protect and serve who? so, you know. All right. So how do you want to be remembered? You know, after you've gone and it's, what, 70, like, what, 80, 90 years later, 100 years later, how would you like to be remembered?
That's a very great question. I think I would like to be remembered as someone who was unafraid to walk 100% in her truth. I would like to be remembered as everything that I am, as a radical, brave, Black woman, queer feminist, you know, who was born and raised in Detroit and who has a great love for Black folk and for my people and for humanity. And I would like to be remembered as someone who was definitely about equality and love and unity, and just as someone who was very passionate.
Word. Well, trust me, you're on the right path right now. That's what I know.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? So I just did the best rapper thing. You know what I'm saying? So tell me, I know you created the Sembassy. Who are your top five female MCs of all time? Dead or alive?
Wow. Okay. I'm definitely one of those people, it's so hard to narrow stuff down. But top five, I would definitely have to say Mayday, Sia, Queen Latifah, Lil' Kim. Is that five? Wait. Mayday, Sia, mm-hmm. Queen Latifah, Lil' Kim. And
More. Oh, you had more. You want to give me 10 or something? Like,
I have more.
I
have more.
Oh, that way.
Oh, geez. Who else? Now I'm drawing a blank. It's so crazy. I feel like there's so many people. Definitely MC Lyte, Salt and Pepper, Jean Grey. Who else? Geez. There's just so many people.
That's a lot, right? There's a lot of them. I know that was almost a trick question, because you did create the Sembassy, and you help us keep tabs on a lot of the female artists that are out now, especially the female MCs,
mm-hmm.
which is really beautiful. How do you feel, you know, how do you feel about, I guess, what a lot of people are saying, calling as culture vultures? I could have you on here all day. You know, I'm not trying to hold you up. I know you know. But the culture vultures. I saw an interview. I don't know if this was fake or what, but I saw an interview
mm-hmm.
that they gave Iggy Azalea. They gave Iggy Azalea. And I guess, I don't know if he's Black, Puerto Rican, I don't know who he was. But he called up. He was on, I think it was Sway in the Morning when Iggy was on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, get that effing trash off the air. Get that trash off the air. Because, you know, and I guess because they were playing Iggy. I don't know. They were playing Iggy. But how do you feel about the term culture vulture? And how do you feel that it applies to what's currently going on in hip-hop, especially among the females, and the attitudes towards Iggy Azalea?
Well, you know what? I think they're... I think that, you know, appropriation and just downright disrespect for hip-hop culture is very real. And I think, see, here's the thing. I think a lot of people who may not be as educated or who may not just have even taken the time to, number one, have media literacy and who may not just have the language or, like I said, the education to recognize when one is appropriating a culture and when one really
mm-hmm.
truly respects and appreciates a culture. One of the biggest issues with Iggy Azalea is, number one, her quote-unquote Black scent, you know, or accent on wax is fake.
Mm-hmm.
There are countless amounts of interviews where when she's on the red carpet or when she's doing the interview, she sounds nothing at all like what she sounds on wax. You know, it's pretty much like a lyrical blackface or something. You know, I feel that Iggy Azalea likes to behave as what she feels like Black women sound and act and behave like. And it really comes down to money, you know? I guess if that's going to make you money, you know, hey. And it's not really about her being white. It's about, you know, you being white and just pretty much appropriating a culture and truly not understanding it. And then also, you know, there's been a lot of tweets and racist tweets that that she clearly, you know, tweeted out herself. So, you know, how can you be a part of this culture and appreciate something that, you know, when you said so many things that are just very, very contradicting.
Now, do you feel like the people around her should be like, hey, what you think you're doing? Or, again, do you think it's just still more about, like, they don't care as long as they make them dollar?
I feel like a lot of people honestly don't care as long as they're making a dollar. And, you know what, I don't know. I feel like some people really just don't get it. But when their dollar sign is in front of you, why would you even care to get it?
That's very true.
And I mean, the very interesting.
I wish she would care. I said, I wish she would care to get it, though. And to just kind of understand what she's, you know, stepping into and why she's being a target. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry. I wish she would care, though.
You know what? I feel like, I don't know, at this point, we can talk until we're blue in the face about, you know, cultural appropriators like Iggy Azalea, but I just feel like to counteract that, listen to the people who aren't. There are millions and millions of other really, really dope women rappers, you know, who are a part of the culture. And then there also are other non-black rappers who also who get it, and they aren't cultural appropriators. But I just feel like, you know, there's so many other dope rappers out here. Forget Iggy. You know, the more and more we talk about her, the, you know, it's better for her. So let's just support the people and talk about the people that we do love and that we do appreciate.
I don't have the applause button like on my other shows, but if I did, this is where I would put it. You know what I'm saying? Right here. Now, I'm going to wrap this up because I know, you know, I appreciate you just even taking time out for me today. I know you're very busy. What's next for you?
What's next? I definitely have a few books in the works, finishing up Turn Me Up, and there may even be a few more surprises that I don't want to necessarily talk about, but just know that, what's the thing everybody likes to say, I'm working?
Yeah, I'm sorry, because I have used that before. So you're working. Okay. Now, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to share with the people today?
No, I guess I would just like to say I would like to send out love to anyone who needs it. I think as human beings, we all need love. So anybody that needs love at this current time, or if anybody's going through anything, I would just like to send out love and, I guess, a big virtual hug.
Well, I will take it. And, you know, I guess I'll share love with everybody else as well. But, nah. But, yo, I really appreciate you coming on, like I said. And just thank you for sharing. Heck, teaching me something I ain't know. I'm so country. Teaching me something I did not know today. So I appreciate that. And hopefully whenever the book, you know, whenever the books come out, whenever you have these new surprises launching, please keep me in the know and let me know so I'll know what's really happening.
I will, and I definitely, you know, much love to you, and thank you very much for considering me and for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, nah, that's no problem. Tell people where they can find you, and, you know, especially like your social media and everything.
Well, they can find me on my website at GlenishaMorgan.com. Same name on Twitter, at Glenisha Morgan, on Instagram, at Glenisha Morgan, on Facebook, Glenisha Morgan.
Thank you. That was awesome. I appreciate you coming on again. You know, everybody, please make sure you check her out. And just stay tuned and see what else she's got coming out. And check out the articles that she's got on her website. Because you will probably not leave the site. You might, but you might not. I don't know. I still got to go back there. She's got some dope reviews up there. I think I didn't see them. But anyway, thank you again, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of what? What is today, Monday? This time?
Thank
stuff
you,
getting
yeah.
messed up. Okay. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your Monday. And thanks again.
Thank you. You too. No problem.
All right. Hey, everybody, that was wonderful, Vanessa Morgan. I'm out of here. I'm going to play this ad to round it all out. So I'm gonna play that. Then I'm gonna be out of here.
Artists, producers, DJs, poets, writers, musicians, and businesses. Are you looking for a one-stop shop for promotions? Then look no further. PhoenixStar9Online.com is your go-to source with everything from interviews, reviews, site features, Twitter and email blasts, and more. Don't miss out today. Go to PhoenixStar9Online.com. That's PhoenixStar, the number 9, online.com, or call 842-564-8675. Your source for promotion, PhoenixStar9Online.com. This ad was sponsored by Lovely Inks and Links, handmade arts, crafts, jewelry, and poetry.